they get into the service this morning. We'll open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Email from Brother David De Leon in Mexico, and he sends his greetings to everyone, and says that he's been saying and promising that he'd come up and visit us, and so he says that he'd like to come up in the third or fourth week of next month, so we'll be trying to arrange those that times for him to come and visit. Said he wants to come and meet you in person and personally thank you for the help that the church has provided him in Mexico. Doing the work that he does. And so he's a precious brother, and we look forward to that. So please be in prayer for him. Genesis chapter 22, and it's kind of a lengthy reading this morning. I got some quotes I want to read, so I'm going to apologize to you now for the length of reading, but please try to stay focused, and I'll try to make up for where the dragging out the reading takes away from you. If there is such a thing, I'll try to bring all that back together. So I'll do my part. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham," that word tempt there really just means he tested him, to try him. "And he said unto him," Abram, "and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." And Brother Branham said this was probably about 70 miles away, how far he had to travel to get to this place. "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Now this is Isaac asking this because he doesn't know what's going on. "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Just a little sidetrack here. Where's Ishmael? "Thy son, thy only," right? Mm-hmm. Ishmael was already born, but it shows you even God doesn't recognize Ishmael,
yeah.
Right? That might help you understand a little bit about what's going on out in the world today. "And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And now let's go to Isaiah chapter 45. We want to read verse 22, I believe it is. This is the Lord speaking. It says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to this portion of the service, Lord, we want to surrender it all to you. Lord, knowing that this is your word, and it takes your Holy Spirit to quicken your word and to make it alive to us, Lord. We are your subjects, Lord. We humble ourselves before you in your mighty hand this morning and ask, God, that you would just come now, Lord, in your presence, and through the anointing of your word, that you speak to our hearts and help us. Give us faith. Give us strength, Lord, as we go through these times of testing. We pray, God, that you just cause us to just become more and more reliant upon you and upon your word, that we could do as the scripture said. We could look to you, Lord. We commit this time into your hands and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. As I said, I'll have some quotes I want to read here. They're rather lengthy, but we'll get there as Lord's willing. I felt really impressed this week at some point to go listen to the sermon, Look Away to Jesus. You know, it seems like to me that no matter what sermon I listen to, you know, the Lord and Brother Daniel probably vouch for this in his own life, the same thing, that no matter what the Lord's dealing with you on, no matter where you go, what sermon you listen to, the Lord speaks to you down that channel of what he's dealing with you on out of that sermon.
Right.
No matter what scripture you go to, no matter what you do, the Lord just, he speaks, you know, there's a channel of inspiration. And so I felt the Lord leading me in that direction to go listen to the sermon, Look Away to Jesus, which I have listened to many times. And so I'm just going to kind of use that as a springboard this morning to get started and just share with you what I want to share with you. And I'm going to title this morning, the third Pool Promise. And so we want to kind of go in that direction this morning. So I went and listened to this sermon, Look Away to Jesus. And if you remember, in this sermon, Brother Branham shares some things there that's on his heart, and it's all pertaining to the third pool, most of it. And so we're going to kind of rehearse through that. And in this time, he rehearses the five different times there that the third pool was used in his ministry there. And I will try to refer to them. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read through this, and then I'll come back and comment on them. And so, I'll comment on the things that I want you to notice out of this. And I'll tell you this up front and then maybe come back to it. He points out in here that the third pool is identified among the people. It's identified there, and he speaks how that ministry of the third pool is going to pull back just a little bit. And he talks about how that there's impersonations out there of just about everything God has, but this is something that cannot be impersonated. And it's going to lay quiet for a while. And then he talks about this nation and what happens. And he talks about a squeeze that's going to come. And then when that squeeze comes, that you can, at that point, you can can look for the third pull that has been manifested but kind of draws back to not doing much. You'll see it at that time in the fullness of its power. So now I'm going to read through this. It's basically his words of what I just told you, but I want you to hear it from him. He said, so now, I am going to say something to you that I haven't said all along, and that is that the thing that we've looked for so long, at least many years, 4 or 5 years or maybe longer, the third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you know what it is. Now remember, there will never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be, it cannot. Now, it's in existence now, and I'm warned of this soon. Right now, at this time, it's just happened so it can identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, he said, the Pentecostals can almost impersonate anything that can be done. Of course, the contrast is they're not going to imitate this, right? So that's what he's getting at. They can impersonate just about anything that can be done. But when this time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporary be manifested in the fullness of its power. Now, I must continue in evangelism, And I, just as I was commissioned at the first, I must continue on. And therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for and how to stand. And he said, I must continue in evangelism. It is so sacred that I mustn't say anything about it. He told me in the beginning, he said, say nothing about it. You remember that years ago, and it speaks for itself. But I tried to explain it, and I made a mistake, and this will be the thing. I don't say that the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that will start the rapturing fate for the going away. He's talking about the third pull. He said, I must lay quiet for a little while. Now, you remember, you listen on tapes, you'll see such a change I'm in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. And we're right at that time now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here. This happens over here to catch up. So he's talking about the squeeze. Okay, the ministry's going to sit there and just kind of sit for a while. We got to wait until this squeeze comes, catches up. And then the time comes, and he said it's been thoroughly identified. Now there's coming a time, and I want you to notice here, he's saying the third pool's here. It's going to draw back just a little bit, and then there's something coming, a squeeze, and when that happens, you're going to see the fullness of its power. Yeah. Okay? Now watch what he goes right into. Very next portion of his quote. There's coming a time that this nation that we're in, where this nation is going to express all the power of the first beast before it, which was pagan Rome. When it become papal Rome, that's this nation will do that. Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The lamb came up out of the earth, and the other beast came up out of water, which is thicknesses and multitude of people. And this lamb came up where there was no people. And the lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. And remember, it spoke like a lamb, and it was a lamb. And then after a while, it received power. It spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the power of the dragon, the dragon power that the dragon had before him. And the dragon is Rome. So he says, do you see a Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, and an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union? You'll have to be into this council of churches, or you won't have any fellowship. He said, well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. And he said, now on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of it all together. That's exactly because he won't be able to do it. It's tightening, and then when that time comes and the press comes to the place where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then. It'll be absolutely to the totally lost, but it will be for the bride and the church. So he says, now, what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. So he's going to tell us something further on down in the service. And so he goes from that point right there, and he tells about the five times that the spoken word was manifested. I think I had it written down here somewhere. I'll make sure I don't miss those. I guess I don't have it written down. The five times, first was the squirrels, right? I think there was a fish that was resurrected in there. Sister Hattie writes, and her sons. The storm on the mountain. And the last one, Sister Mita. Meet his healing. And so he rehearses those stories through these things, and then he tells all about that, those five times that the third pool was used, and squirrels, the dead fish, Sister Hattie Wright, the storm, and Sister Meet's healing. And so when he gets through telling all that, then he says this: there's no more doubt in my mind. I know what the third pool is, and I know what it does. Now, be reverent, just keep quiet. The hour will soon arrive where God is going to do some great things for us. And so, he's describing this, and then he gets to the place where he says, And we use the scripture that I just had this morning, Isaiah 45:22. So the Bible says in Isaiah 45:22, we find out that God said, "Look unto me, all the ends of the earth." And so this is where I'm kind of wanting to try and tie all this together real quick. He says this, he says, "And now, when the earth has come to its end, or the systems of the earth has come to its end, let the people look unto him." This is what he said. So he tells us, third pool's here, going to set quiet, a squeeze is going to come, everything's going to be falling apart, and when that time comes, then look to him. Okay? That's where he gets what he's backing this whole sermon up about, look the way to Jesus. And so he preaches the sermon several times. The world is falling apart, and the world again is falling apart. And so I'll read just a short portion of scripture, of a quote there, to show you. And how many knows that when he says this, you know, when he talks about this squeeze and the council of churches, and we kind of, I don't know about you, but I always think about, well, it's the church systems that really don't have anything to do with government. But Brother Graham tied the whole thing together. The governments of the world, he said Satan desired in the beginning to be worshipped like God. And he has set out and he has perverted everything, and he's got the whole world except for the bride of Christ and a few elect Jews. He's got the whole world sewn up into his false religious scientific hybrid system. See? And so it's that whole system. It's government, it's religious, it's political, it's demonic, all that together. It's that that's going to bring a squeeze under, you know, he says World Council of Churches, but they all are sewed into that whole belief system. And the whole thing is just all out there as your opposition. And it's this thing, as Brother Branham says, that Satan's already been crowned in that system as a pope. So now I'm going to read this. World falling apart. He said, our political, and I want you to think about what's going on now. Our political world today and our religious world is just exactly like it was in the days when the first coming of the Messiah. It's polluted. The whole system is rotten. Our politics couldn't get any worse. Our religion, I don't see how it could get any worse than it is now. The whole thing is corrupt. Our political world, man-made system and fashions. We want everything so that we can take it easy and retire and take life easy. And he said, life wasn't intended to be easy. Life is a struggle. Anything that's got life is struggling. Look at the trees, how they struggle. Look at everything that's got life, it struggles. And when we're trying to get some kind of a system that takes it easy, then we're wrong. Right. And we know there's something wrong. And I listen to our television and programs and papers and all these things that's going on, and everybody's telling a joke. America is a big bunch of laughter and some kind of a joke, like Ernie Ford and these television stars, and our movies is so corrupt that it just couldn't get any more corrupt, that's all. And it puts me in mind of a little boy going through the graveyard whistling, making himself think that he's not afraid, but that's the reason he's whistling. He's afraid. And that's what's the matter. The world is trying to laugh it off. America is a joke, and know that our number's up. She's weighed in the balance and found wanting. And if God Almighty doesn't tear this nation to pieces, he'll be obligated to Sodom and Gomorrah to raise her up and apologize for burning her up. That's right. We're doomed. The whole world is doomed. She's falling apart, and there's no way of saving it. She's done. Send away her day of grace. So now, the world is falling apart, and it's a whole entire system out there that's all this squeeze is going to come from, and yet it's a system that's falling apart. Yeah. So we just read that. And Brother Rim said that when that system comes to that, and when that nation of America begins to exercise that power as the beast before, which was Rome, and everything's falling apart, and America's exercising that power, and they begin to squeeze the bride of Christ, to squeeze you out, because you're the ones that's not part of that system, he said, then that's the hour that you can look for this third pole to manifest in the fullness of his power. Now, I probably haven't told you anything that you didn't already know about that this morning, but I just want to kind of go on and see if there's some other things in here that the Lord can show us from this. So he says, he's preaching the sermon, look away to Jesus. So when the world is falling apart, you want to look to him, but look at what the world system is. And right when that system is falling apart, that's where we're going to see this time coming. That's when we need to look away to Jesus. Okay, this is what he's telling us. That's when we want to look away to Jesus. But I want to ask you, this is what he asked in this sermon. So what are people looking for when they look? You know, he uses the scriptures there about God, how the children of Israel had murmured and there were serpents biting them, and they put the serpent on a pole made out of brass, and the people, when they were bitten, if they just looked to that brass serpent, they'd be healed.
Yeah.
And so here they are, they're in a condition that's their own fault, and they're dying because of their own fault and their own situation that they created upon themselves, but yet God comes along and provides in his mercy a way for them to be healed from the problem that they brought on themselves.
Yeah.
And so they had sinned, and they had murmured against the Lord and provoked him. And so God takes this situation, both their sin and the remedy, and he all puts it up on display in this act that he had Moses do in creating this serpent made out of brass and putting it up on a pole. And we know that's a type of Jesus Christ. So the sin of the people was represented in that thing that was lifted up. That was the serpent part. Their sin was represented by the serpent.
Right.
God's judgment upon sin, because there has to be judgment. You're not going to sin and it not have to be judged somehow. Somewhere, some way, judgment has to fall on that sin.
Yeah.
It's by the grace of God that he takes that judgment for you. But it still has to be dealt with. Okay? And so their sin was represented in the serpent, but judgment of God had to come upon that sin. And so in the Bible, brass would represent the judgment. And it was lifted up on a pole, and that was typing of Jesus Christ being lifted up on Calvary, that he would take our sin, and sin would be divinely judged there on Calvary. So here was, and the thing of it was the people had to look away from their circumstance, look away from everything that was upon them, that was their own fault, had to look away from that and look to the answer that God was supplying. And they had to look at that, and they had to recognize, my sin is up there, my murmuring, it's God is up there. All the things I've done in the face of God, it's laying right there, being judged right there, and I have to recognize and accept that which is right there. And if I can accept that, I'll be healed. I'll be saved, right? So people can't be saved or healed if they don't recognize where their atonement comes from. You know, it comes from Jesus Christ being lifted up on Calvary. So they had to look away from their circumstances to look to the solution that God had provided for him. And this is what the scriptures Brother Branham was using for that. So he said, when this time comes, it's headed this way, when America's going to flex all the power of that first beast, when that hour comes upon you, the church, look away from all that. Look away from everything that's going on and look away to Jesus.
Right.
Because don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what man has got themselves into. Don't even look at what you've got yourself into. But look away from that, because God has a solution. Look to him and he'll be the answer. And when you behold him, all this will be dealt with and be made right in him. In what he's going to be doing at that time. So look away to Jesus during that hour when that squeeze comes. And this is a third pull promise, what I'm talking about here. That's why I titled it this. So we want to look away to Jesus. So many people realize there's going to be a lot of foolish virgins. There's a lot of people that's fixing to die in this world that'll be saved because they do. They are Christians. They do accept Jesus. But they're not going to go on a rapture because they're not bright. They've rejected some portion of the word, and so they're not going in a rapture. But they'll be saved in tribulation. They'll give their lives for their testimony. They'll be purged by their own sufferings that they deal with in the tribulation period. And so many people are fixing to go through that because there's still a devil out there and he still hates the gospel. And he's being permitted to come to a place where he rules just for a little while. And so he's coming after all the things that represents righteousness. So there's a lot of people that are going to suffer and die in tribulation period. And it's a shame because the word has been given to make them escape from that, and they've rejected it. So they go through this. So many people during this hour, when all this system rises up and begins to bring this upon the believers of this world, when that happens, many people are going to look to Jesus, just like we would. When this happens, we're going to look to him. But whenever they look, what are they looking to? And so Brother Man goes through this so many times through there. It's like, you know, many people, they look to a creed, or they look to some man who could create a creed that was just such a, so finely worded that this creed will cause everybody to come and join their denomination because this creed says it all. So they look for some man that's a superman. They look for some pope who can wave his arm, or some guy that can wave some smoke in something and make it look holy. They all look to that. So you see, this is the problem. Truth needs to be out there, because when that hour comes, truth is the only thing that can set people free during that time and make them free. So when people haven't been given the truth and they've been given some false idea of what religion is or what's righteous and all that, they look to that in their time of trouble. I know a young lady years ago, she come home and some guys were in her house. They shot and killed her. Well, she turned to the only thing she needed to do. And she would say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's all she knew to do. Right? You see what I'm saying? So people in an hour of trial and trouble, they'll turn, they'll look to Jesus, but they'll look to the form of Jesus that they know.
Right.
And so if their form of Jesus is a pope standing in some glass car going by, that's what they're going to think of in their time of trouble.
Right.
And the problem is, you're not going to get anything out of that.
Right.
That's not going to save you from the time of trouble when you look to something like that. And so Brother Branham is saying, what do people look to when they look to Jesus? Well, they see this, they see that, they see their denomination, they see some man, some system, some creed. That's what they're looking to. Some people look and say, well, the days of miracles are past. Well, if you need a miracle and you believe the days of miracle is past, you're in trouble. See? So the key here is that we look to him, and he is the word. I've said it, displayed it different ways many times, but this is Jesus Christ, the word, right here. He's got feet, toes, arms, legs, shoulders, heart, healing, salvation, rapture. It's right here. You see what I'm saying? It's right there. So when we look away to Jesus, we want to look to the word that says that my need can be met in this hour.
Yeah.
Right? The word that says, here's what's in effect right now in this hour. This is what I have access to because I'm looking to Jesus. I'm looking to the word.
Yeah.
I'm looking for his promise that says that in my time of need, I'll have help.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing. See, that's what we want to do. Look away to Jesus. Look away from the circumstances. Look away from this beast government that's rising up. Right? Look away from all that. Look away from our troubles. Look away from our bank account. Look away from whether we've got any food or don't have any food. Look away from what our neighbors are doing and what's going on in Charlotte.
Yep.
Look away from all that. And look to the only thing that's going to keep us in this hour. Listen, that system out there is being allowed to get such strength and such power that without Christ, if you leave him out of the picture, you can't prepare enough for what they're coming with. You can't do it. It's a showdown time. The only thing left standing is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, his redeemed. And so we want to look to him. He is the word. A lot of people look to something else, but The bride of Christ looks to his promised word, right? Okay? Now, we have a restored word. We have the truth in the scriptures that's been there, that fell out through the dark ages and was hid by all these creeds and dogmas of man. And God says, look, there's a showdown time coming, and I want my people to be able to look to me. But in order for them to look to me and receive what they need in that hour, they need to know that lying in me is the things they need. And so I have to restore back to them who I am. I have to show them that I am Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have to restore back to my people the fullness of me, of everything that I am. So I have to come along and I have to reveal myself to them and open the seals off of me and show myself to them. And once now I show myself to them, that people in that hour that's been restored back to that word, they're going to know what's in me when the rest of the world misses it. Because the rest of the world has rejected the restored word. They rejected the ministry that brought it. But these people have caught it. They've received it. And therefore, now they have access to me. And if they need something and they come to an hour where things get rough, they're going to get what they need because they know it's in me. And they're going to look to me for that very promise. But the rest of the world's not going to, they're not going to know which way to look because they're looking to a creed or a pope or a government or something. But we know to look away from those things. We look to Jesus, the revealed word of the hour. Thank God for an end time message, right?
Yeah.
Pentecostals, what they're going to look to, they're going to look to something that makes them speak in tongues more.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Baptists, they're going to look to some theological giant that knows more about Baptist doctrine. They're going to look to him. What do we do in this hour when these things come? They're not going to be able to help, see? But we look to the promised word because in the hour when this thing comes, then you're going to see it manifested in the fullness of its power.
Yep.
And what are we going to look to? We're going to look to that.
That's right.
And that hour. I'm saying this because that hour is getting closer. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's in that time we certainly don't want to fail in what it is we believe. But it's in that hour that we certainly want to look to the word like we've never looked before. Or you don't understand what I mean. So, we look to the restored word, and the restored word has revealed promises to you and I that we have as promises that the rest of the world don't have. Right? You say third pool to them, they don't know what you're talking about. Because they said no to it a long time ago. You can't talk to someone on 12th grade level if they're still on first grade level.
Right.
You got to start at the bottom, work your way up, see? And you can't come along and say, believe in the third pull. They rejected long ago. Back in first grade, they said no to a prophet. But if they had said yes to a prophet, then they could have been entered into the teachings that God sent through that. And we built one thing on top of another, on top of another. I had to go that way. I didn't understand these things completely when I first gave my heart to the Lord. But there was something inside. And, you know, that's truth.
Yeah.
And then week after week, year after year, come to the place where we understand that this system truly is got Ichabod written on it. And there truly is an elect people that God is with, that he's bringing. And so you learn, eventually you get up here. Now you can talk and understand and third pool things because you've been with it. You've thought about it. And I'm not saying God can't bring somebody up pretty quick. He can. But you don't understand. You understand the concept I'm getting at is that you need to walk with the word like Enoch walked. Because after you walk for long enough, you eventually take a body change.
Yeah.
But if you just say, well, Lord, I'm not walking with you today. No, I'm not walking with you. No, I'm not walking with you. Well, if you never walk with the Word, you never walk with the Lord, how do you expect to ever walk on up into His kingdom?
Yeah.
We've got to walk with Him, the Word.
Yeah.
You know what? Facebook is not Him.
Right.
Twitter is not Him. YouTube's not Him. We all have those things and we use them for whatever, but they're not him. He's the person of Jesus Christ, and he deserves first place. And he's the thing that can make us walk out of here. Not to say you can't publish a good sermon or can't listen to a good sermon or something that way. That's fine. As long as it all points back to him, that when the day's over with, what are we looking to? We're looking to him, the promised word. So in this promised word, restored word, that we've been given access to now, And there are promises for us that the rest of the world don't have, and they're third pool promises. So Brother Branham, in this Look Away to Jesus, he talks about what these are, and every one of them is a manifestation of the spoken word. Every one of them is a place where a human, a mortal, spoke, and God honored it as his own word. Yeah. Right? That's what happened. They're not cases where God comes along and says, say this, say that, say, you know. They're cases where the Lord comes along and says, you say it, and what you say will happen. Right? That's what this whole thing was about. And so in Look Away to Jesus, he describes that, and he says, all these cases, he said, now I know what the third pool is, and I know what it does. So we want to talk about third pool just a little bit in this story of Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham was to sacrifice his son. You remember in the scriptures there that Abraham had waited for a promised son and for all these years, and then his promised son had come, and you're thinking, oh, this is great, you know, he's arrived, he's in the message, I'm going to say it that way, he's arrived to the truth of the hour, and he's obeying God, and then all of a sudden God says, I want you to take this promise that I've given you, and I want you to sacrifice it. And so this promised word that I have sent you, I want you to move into a position where it looks like that promised word is going to be taken from you. You're obedient to me, and you're obedient to the promised word, and I've manifested truths of this message in your life, Abraham. I've brought you a long way, and you're not what you used to be. And I've brought you all that way, and I'm asking you, Abraham, to continue to walk with me and put yourself in a position where it looks like that's going to be done away with. Follow me? Okay? And he says, go up here and sacrifice your son. Now, Abraham goes obeying God, and he heads that way, and it's like it was a three-day journey, and Brother Ben said, I can walk 20 miles a day. So 20, 40, 60, and he said, then he looked afar off, and there was another. It was still some distance, so he said about 70 miles away. Quite a journey. Most people won't walk across the street to obey God. Right. But he walks, and the scripture tells us in the New Testament that Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Right? He believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham is headed to that mountain, and in his mind, he's going to slay that son, and then God's going to resurrect him. This is what's going on in Abraham's mind. And so when they get to the place where they get there and they start up the mountain, and he leaves the servants behind, and it's just him and his promised word going up the mountain, going to a place where it looks like the promises of God are going to be done away with, but Abraham's faith, still believing what God has said, he's going up there, and Isaac says, well, we've got the wood, and we've got the fire, where's the sacrifice? Well, you know, keep in mind, Abraham's thinking, well, I'm fixing the slave. That was what was in his mind. I'm fixing the slave. But he didn't tell him that. So obviously Isaac probably didn't know at that point, because he wouldn't ask the question, right? He wouldn't say, well, where is it? But you notice right at that moment, what came out of Abraham's mouth was not, oh, I'm going to slay you and God's going to resurrect you. But what he said, what came out of his mouth right at that moment was, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And all I can say is that right then, when he said that, it wasn't his own thinking, but yet it come out of his mouth, that went out and began to whirl around in that spirit realm, and the cosmic lights and the petroleum and all the things that come in begin to work, and up on top of the mountain, there was a ram started to be formed in some dimension up there, because that man had spoken it. Yeah. In his time where he was, and this was his final test. This was Abraham's final test right here. So, this showdown of his faith. And he says, God will provide. Because he's promised me this son, and I'm going to have this son. He's promised me to be a father of nations through him. And if I go up there and sacrifice him, then God will have to raise him from the dead. Right. Because I'm going to be father of nations through him. He said so. So Abraham believed.
But he didn't understand it all. And so right at that crucial moment, he speaks and says, God will create for himself. God will. And so he gets up there, and here's, we read the story. He's going to slay his son, and he's getting ready to, just one more second, it'd have been over with. And God stops him, and he turns around, and he looks behind him, and there's that ram caught in the thicket. That spoken word came out of his mouth and created that ram. Right?
Right.
Created that ram, and Abraham called that Jehovah Jireh. Now, Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Right?
Yeah.
He will provide. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, it really means God sees. But he is a provider. So God is, at this place, God provided what was needed. This is what happened. God provided what was needed. But I want to ask you something. Who needed the ram? Who needed that ram? Was it God, or was it Abraham, or was it God? And I would tell you that it was God who needed that ram. And here's what I'm talking about. It's that when God calls you into a place to be and do a certain thing, and especially when he does that, and it's in opposition to the rest of the world.
Right.
When he calls you to that position, what he's called you to is to represent him in that position.
Yeah.
Because you're going somewhere and you're doing something that's totally different than what you would do in yourself and what the world would do. And God calls you to a spot, and now you're standing in that spot. You're there representing God. And if while you're in obedience to his command to be in that condition that you're in, or that place that you're in, or in that message that you're in, if while you're in that position, things rise up against you, and you have great need, and you and yourself don't have the answer to that need, guess who's responsible of providing that need? And if he doesn't provide that need, then whose image goes down in the mud? It's God's image that goes down in the mud. Because he's the one that's called you to a life of righteousness. He's the one that's called you to say no to the world, even though they're against you and all their eyes is upon you. He's called you to that, and now you're standing in that position, and now they're coming after you because you're standing against all their unrighteousness.
Yeah.
They're coming after you, and you're looking and going, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when you look away to the promise.
Yeah.
That's when you look away to Jesus. Because it's right then at that time that whatever you have need of to keep his name for his name's sake, that's why it's the time that he has to provide that for you. Just like he said, oh, you brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but now you can't keep them? You had power enough to bring them out, but now you can't take care of them?
Yeah.
No, but for his name's sake, he'd do exactly what he said he would do. And if he said, I'll have a bride without spot or blemish, he's going to have one, and he's going to make sure he has one, because if he doesn't, his word falls to the ground. So he's going to have one, right? So he's called Abraham and said, look, I want a representation of me, is what God's saying. I want a representation of me of the father of faith. I want one on the earth that represents me. And so I'm going to live and speak to him, and he's going to walk in his life. And at some point, I'm going to call him to a place where he's standing there. And everything that he's walked with me on is going to look like it's in jeopardy, but he's going to believe me anyway.
Yeah.
And so he stands there on that mountain, obeying God, headed up the mountain. And his answer is there, right? Because if God hadn't come on the scene, he would have slayed that child,
right?
But God was going to come on the scene. So there was the answer. But the answer was to come forth through spoken word. Abraham had gotten to the place. This is where God was taking him. So God would say something and then do it. Say something, then do it. Say something and then do it. And all the while making Abraham grow, and he's stronger in faith and giving glory to God, and he's growing. And what's happening? God is molding and making Abraham more into his own image, making Abraham more like God. To such a place that God speaks and doesn't, speaks and doesn't, speaks and doesn't. It says, Abraham, now you speak. Because you're so much like me, now you speak and I'll do it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And that's what happened. The showdown was all laid right there in this one thing. Abraham, do you believe me enough? Well, yes, Lord, I seen you take care of Pharaoh, and I seen you do this, and I seen you. Do you believe me enough that my promises are true, that I'll do what I said? Yes, Lord, do you believe that I'll let you speak? And it'll be me, because you're so much like me. Yes, Lord, I can believe that. So this is where it's all, this is where it is. For a full manifestation of God's program of divine salvation and all his rapturing power and everything to be resident in his people, it comes to the place where they walk with him to such a degree that at some point that final victory comes out of their own mouth. Their final test comes out of their own mouth. And so it came out of Abraham's mouth, that final test, and he spoke, God will take care of it. God will provide that sacrifice. And God did it. Now, the name of what I'm talking about here, that God will be present as Jehovah Jireh, God who sees and then acts upon what he sees because we're his people and provides our needs when we can't ourselves. This whole thing, he calls this place where this happened Jehovah Jireh, so we're going to refer to this event of coming to this place where we believe God so much that we can believe that he'll even meet our own word that we speak. And you get, just remember, this is not something you can be imitated, okay? Yeah. It's not going to be nothing like that. But we believe in our own walk that through this message that we've come to a place that God can speak. And our final test will come through this. We call this Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. But he's providing for himself. He's providing this sacrifice himself, a sacrifice, and it actually was himself as a sacrifice too, if you look at it in typology, Christ being the one. God provided himself as a sacrifice for us. But God has to provide it all. And it's all it is that our obedience, we walk in and he does the rest.
That's right.
We walk in obedience, he provides it. So he provided for Abraham, and it was through the spoken word, Jehovah Jireh. So now God does this and knows that at the end time there's going to be a people who are the children of Abraham. They're going to walk with him as he calls them out, and they're going to have a showdown. And at that time of showdown, third pull is the answer. Third pull is the thing to look to at that time. At their showdown, the last time they have to have their faith tested, which gives them a body change. Because remember, he said, now I'm not saying the Lord tells me this, but I think this is what's going to start the going away, the rapture of the going away. This third pool, this is what's going to do it. Why? Because it's the final thing. It's the final showdown of Abraham. So here's a people, Abraham's children at the end, they're walking with God, and they reach a place where they have a showdown, and out of their own mouths, they're going to speak the deliverance of God. Yeah. And we call that third pool. And in that third pool, guess who's present? Jehovah Jireh. Right? Jehovah Jireh. He's present during that time. And so this is why when Brother Branham, he comes along, and this has to be identified so we can see it and the elect can recognize, okay, now we know what's among us. And no, I don't see it doing things all the time, but it's among us. And when that time comes, I'm looking to it. Not to me, not to something else, but I'm looking to this promise that I have access to as a privileged people. I'm looking to that. And when that time comes to squeeze me because of my stand, I'm looking to this, and Jehovah Jireh will be on the scene. So God wants us to understand that. So he identifies that among us so we know it's here and we know it's sitting here laying dormant, waiting for the United States to flex their muscles along with the Vatican and everybody else. But when that time comes, we know what to sink our faith teeth into. It's the promised word, and it's something nobody else has access to because they rejected it long ago.
Yeah.
Right? God is a segregationist. By his truth. You believe it, you get access. If you don't, you don't get access.
Right?
Right? So he has that people. So Jehovah Jireh will be present when that squeeze comes. So God says, I'm gonna show this. So he has these five times, which is a number of grace. He has these five times where a man speaks, a person speaks, and God uses it as his own word and brings it to pass. And he ties that to Jehovah Jireh. So he's out there and he's speaking, and the Lord says about these squirrels, he says, whatsoever he asks, faith believing, it'll be so. Brother Branson, I never preached on it because I didn't understand it. And that voice spoke to him and said, well, it's just exactly like any other scriptures. It's true. You're hunting. You need game. Now speak it. Everybody remembers the story, so I won't try to delay a lot of time on it. But so he speaks. And here's these squirrels, and he speaks another one in a locust thicket, and they'd never be there. And there it was, and he said, I'm going to make this last one ridiculous. That squirrel's going to come running off right down through and go out and sit on that limb and look at that farmer that's over in that field. And that squirrel comes right down through there and does exactly that. Now, a little while later, Brother Brennan was at Sister Hattie's right, a widow, at her house, and there's other people there, and he is telling them this story. He's telling them how these squirrels were created. And he says in his talking there, he says, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is that it's Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
Right? It's Jehovah Jireh. What? God taking the word of a man who's walked with him, or a people who's walked with the words, and when they speak it, it's God's word, and he creates out of nothing what's been spoken.
Yeah.
He gives what's been spoken, brings to pass what. So God is a provider. In other words, if you need gain, God provides it, right?
Yeah.
If there's a resurrection needed, God provided it for a fish, right? If your wife has got a tumor, God provides it.
Yeah.
But it all through the channel of this place of after walking and coming to this place where God is in you in such a degree, you believe him enough. If you can believe God enough, when you speak, it'll be his word.
Right.
Not yourself now. Can't imitate it. It only comes in that crucial moment. Not pre-thought of. Just that crucial moment when it happens and there it is. You speak it and God honors it. I remember a couple years back, when we hadn't had rain for so long. Brother Daniel and I standing on the front porch. Remember that, brother?
Amen.
And I forget how we said it. We spoke it, and we had rain just in a day or two, a few days. Right? And I don't think we've had any hard rain, lack of major rain like we did then since that time.
Right.
We didn't sit around and go, let's plan on next Sunday when we meet, we'll stand on the porch and I'll position myself this way, Brother Daniel, he'll be like this, you know, and we'll agree together and we're going to speak it. No, you don't do it that way. Because
right.
See, that can be imitated, that can be messed with. But when a person walks with God and all of a sudden, right at that crucial moment, something said, and God says, that was my word, that my son speaking. And he makes it happen. Guess who's on the scene when that happens? It's Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
God providing. So you got a storm bearing down on you. And remember I said a while ago, he called Abraham. He was calling Abraham, go up there where Jehovah Jireh can be manifest. Go up there at that place where if you can believe, you can speak it. And he'll provide you. Go up there. And it looked like he was going into a place where the whole thing was going to be lost. And you think about that, Brother Branham said when that storm hit, he started to camp just as fast as he could. And that voice spoke and said, go back up there where you come from. He said, why would he send me up into that death trap?
Yeah.
But it's the same one that spoke to me all the time. Looked like he was walking right up into his death,
yeah.
But he believed that word. So he's walking right up there into that place. Look like if God don't come on the scene, he's going to freeze to death, perish up there on that mountain.
Yeah.
But he believed God enough to commit himself to what looked like was going to be a place that he couldn't be redeemed from.
Yeah.
But he believed it anyway. And my point is, God called him back up there.
Yeah.
God said, go up there where Jehovah Jireh can be manifest. Go up there where you can believe me enough that you can speak the word, and I'll bring to pass what you speak. And by speaking that, you'll not perish.
Yeah.
You'll not go down at the hand of this squeeze. No, it won't happen, but you've got to commit yourself to that point of no return in God. You've got to do it. And then when you put yourself out there on the limb, then you're at a place where you can speak and it'll be God speaking. This doesn't come by just a casual something. This comes in times of desperation. But it's in those hours God will do what he said. He'll honor his word that comes out. Now this is something that we as believers have access. We have access to understand. Wait a minute, there's this process. And we, if we can just believe him enough, we come into this place where we speak. And it's him. The world don't know it. And they don't have a clue. They don't know about Jehovah Jireh. They can read about it and say, oh, that was with Abraham. They don't know he's present now. But he is. He's present now, ready to do what he set in order back then. So now, Brother Branham is speaking about these. He's speaking about this situation in Sister Hattie's right home. And he says, the only thing I can think of is that's just Jehovah Jireh. God provide. Because Brother Branham has sense enough to know, hey, it's not my word. I can't do nothing.
Right.
But it must be Jehovah Jireh. It must be that God was present in a mode where he took the words of a man and brought it to pass because he had me speak it and they come to pass. So it must be Jehovah Jireh again. God providing, but not what appears to be what he would need, but what God wanted manifested. Right? God wanted that storm stopped. Why? So you and I could understand through these things that we have access to Jehovah Jireh. If we're walking in the Word. If we commit ourselves to that message, the message that, to that degree, then he's responsible. He has to do it. Because if he don't, then we're done for. See what I mean? Oh, it's a terrible, scary thing, but yet it's glorious. Right? So, he's speaking this, and he says, all I can say, and here's this widow woman over here. Hattie Wright. Here she's sitting there. And this Jehovah Jireh, this thing that was taking place in this prophet's life, God trying to get something to his people so they can understand how this works. Here's this widow woman sitting here, and she believes it. She believes it and says, Brother Brown, that ain't nothing but the truth. Now, you know, her name, he called her Hattie Wright, but her name was Mosier. Isn't that right? And not a play on words, but names mean things, but she said the right thing. Not just the thing that the right family would say, but she said the correct thing, the right thing. And Brother Branham said it. She said the right thing. When her attitude, now listen, saints, these people want to snub the message and act like it's nothing, but what was her attitude to it? She looked at that and she said, that's the word of God coming to pass. That's what he promised. That's Jehovah Jireh. I believe that. And her attitude to that, when that was present there. Her attitude toward that Jehovah Jireh ministry, it was here to allow people to speak your own deliverance and speak when something's present that's going to be here when that squeeze comes down. And people's going to use that there in that hour. When that was present, her attitude toward that was, that's nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Well, if it's the truth, then they're set free in it. And her attitude toward that was correct. And that same Jehovah Jireh was there and said, tell Sister Hattie, you can have whatever the desire of your heart is. Speak it, Sister Hattie. Speak what you want. Right?
Yeah.
That crucial moment. No, you know, weeks to think about it. No, not like that. That crucial moment, here she was. She only made about $200 a year. She put $20 in there for the building fund. Brother Bram said, I was going to take it back to her. She put 10% of her whole year's income into that building fund. And he said, I'm going to take it back to her. And so here she was, a widow with a sister that was crippled and I think parents were old and sick and whatever. I don't remember the details at all. And she was poor. Brother Bram told her, said, ask for her healing, that crippled girl. And they had prayed and prayed and prayed for that girl, and never, she never got healed. But here he is, he's standing there, he said, ask for her healing and see if it don't happen. Yeah. Ask for $1 million and see if it don't come fall in your lap. He said, if it don't, I'm a false prophet. Right. Now, was Brother Graham standing back here on the trunk of the tree and saying, ask what you will? Or did he walk right out there on that limb and say, speak it, and it'll happen, and if it don't, I'm a false prophet. Right. He committed himself to it. But you know what? It was in that hour that happened, that widow woman looked at that situation and gained favor with God to have the desire of her heart. In other words, I'm going to parallel this. She came to her squeeze.
Yep.
She came to her crucial moment, where in her crucial moment, where everything was, all these circumstances was upon her. She was poor, and she had all this, her crippled sister, and no doubt it was hard. She had lost her husband, killed in a tractor accident, I believe is what it was. But she has all these cases to look at. She could look at all that, and she could ask upon her own lust if she wanted to. Right? You have not because you ask not, and then when you ask amiss. You ask something for yourself. Now, she could have done that, see? I don't believe God would have granted to her this request, this opportunity if she had had the wrong idea. He knew what her idea was. But she believed, and he granted to her this opportunity to speak what she wanted. And she could have asked for $1 million. She could have asked for the healing. She could have asked for a mansion. Because she asked something that had an eternal value.
Yeah.
And that was the salvation of her two boys. And you know the rest of the story. But her attitude toward what God was doing was what secured her in that position. I want to ask you something. What about this bride? What about this woman? Right? Mm-hmm. We're dead to our old husband. Right? He's dead to us. Right? He's been slain. And if we're not married to Christ yet, we're a widow. But our look upon what God has done in this hour can grant to us access. You understand what I'm saying? So, Jehovah Jireh is present to bring to pass his promises. This is third pool. This is what he promised in third pool. And this is what he promised will come to pass when the squeeze goes. Now think about that. God had called Abraham into the spot where Jehovah Jireh could be manifested. It was Abraham's final test. And it was at this point that Abraham had to speak it, just like we would. He had enough belief in the Creator and that he was a creator by a spoken word. So Abraham believed God can do this. And this is the thing. Remember that capstone come down? That base of that capstone had to meet the next one underneath it. So we have to get to a place of belief and truth enough that we could accept the ministry that would come. Right? We have to believe that God can do what he said. We have to believe that, you know what? He is Jehovah Jireh. He is a creator. And so God called Abraham up here to this place where not some imitation, somebody that, you know, whatever, but up into a place where only the Creator could make it come to pass. So what I want to show you here is that, remember, Satan was equal with God in everything except in creation. He can't create. He's a perverter. So he can pervert and he can mess around with everything and he can use all the world system and get it all messed up, but there's one thing he can't do. He said he can't create. Now, everything else can be imitated, but he can't create. So if God wants to do something in our lives that cannot be imitated, he's got to bring us into a place where Jehovah Jireh is present, where the Creator would work, and our deliverance comes from a spoken word.
Amen.
And God shares that with his own people, his own children. Say, you're my child, now you speak. Bringing you to adoption. This is my son. This is my child. Now listen to what he's got to say, because when he speaks, it's going to come to pass. This is adoption. This is what we're talking about. This is where it was coming to. You say, I don't feel that way. But do you believe? Are you being tutored by the word? Are you coming to that place where you realize, you know what? Everything that man said was coming. It's coming. I can see it. And God's among us, ready to be Jehovah Jireh. He's not going to come along and say, 1 week before squeeze, and say, well, the squeeze will be here in a week. I want you to know that. So I'm going to manifest a little bit just to, no, it's not like that. You walk with the Word. You trust the Word. And when that time comes and you've committed yourself to believe and stand with this message and the whole world wants to point their guns at you and the squeeze wants to come and push you out and you're standing there, you believe the Word. Say, you know what, God, I am where you told me to be. I have embraced this message. And if you don't come on the scene, your name's going out. You can obligate God in that way. And He'll come on the scene. But He'll come on the scene because you believe such that you may even have to speak, and you will. You have to speak your own deliverance, your own, the old thing. And I've said this before. Brother Daniel, I'll say it differently this time, but if you found yourself on an island, you was in a plane coming back from mission trip or whatever, plane crashes, everybody dies, but you managed to get over to an island. Ain't nobody there. Now what do you need to survive? Well, you trying to climb up a tree to see if you can see further or whatever, you fall and you break your leg. What do you need? You need healing. You need something to eat. Can't find nothing to eat. What do you need? You need food. Right? If you had your family there, you might need salvation. You might need, you know what I'm saying? So if you look at those five manifestations, you had a hurricane come and speak to it and stop it. So my point is that with those five manifestations, if you had those working in your life, what else would you need? Right? Stop a storm if it's coming at you. Food for the table. Healing for your family. Resurrection if you need it. Right? So it's all right there in Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to tell you that I know how this is going to work, but I'm telling you that Jehovah Jireh is very important to the message of the third book promise, because it was He who was present. It's His characteristics that He provides out of nothing by spoken word. See, Jehovah, our provider, Jehovah Jireh. So, Abraham was called to this place, and you're called to this place that even Satan can't go. It's to a place that he can't imitate, and neither can any of his followers. God will call us to a place where only creative power is the answer. And it's through Jehovah Jireh, through a people that believe this truth and it gets spoken. So when does it happen? When the world's falling apart. When it's falling apart, what do? You look to that. You look to Jesus. Look to that word, that promised word of what He said it would do. So it's happening when the world's falling apart. It's happening when all this worldwide system is uniting together because they're falling apart. They get panicky. You know, when people are panicking, they do crazy things. So they're panicking, and it's during that time, that's the hour that we want to look to the word and believe that God's going to manifest Jehovah's God. Manifest third pool. Amen. And so, I don't know about anybody else, but there's some things in my life, there's some people, there's some situations, and there's some offspring, and I'd like to be able to have the desire of my heart pertaining to those. And I think I can see in the Word that my attitude and your attitude toward the promises of God will grant you that favor.
Yeah.
That at some point, that crucial moment, unrehearsed, that right at that moment, when everything's desperate or whatever, God will grant to His people that which they have need of. I believe it's in the Word. I believe it's laying there. So what do? As Brother Bram said, he said, you've had the Word and you know how to live, you know how to walk, you know where to stand. Sit right there. Hold it right there. Stand right. Walk right. Do what the message said. And wait until that squeeze comes. And when that time comes, look away from everything that's going on. Look to that promised word. Look away from your failures.
Because I know at that time Satan's going to go, see, yeah, and you haven't always walked, No, but I believe this message. Abraham had made mistakes too, right? And he was walking up that mountain. He had made all kinds of mistakes. But that didn't change the promise. And God still had to make manifest what he wanted to make manifest. And he'll do the same thing in our lives. So, yeah, sure, Satan's going to be talking at you. But you know what? Put it behind you. Say, I believe. And walk with God. Amen. You believe it? I'd hate to have to stand up here and preach only Pentecostal doctrine. You know what I mean? But the Lord has given us such a message, so much to feast upon. I pray, Lord, let these things come, Lord, into fruition in our lives. And it will. In his time, it'll happen just like he says in his time. He does all things well. Amen. Let the musicians come. The Lord is good to us. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, what wonderful truths are laying in your word for us. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and just giving us encouragement to know that we are a people that you have touched. Lord, we realize that each one of us have much further down the road than we would like to be. But Lord, we can see that your hand has been upon us, and protected us, you fed us all the days of our life, kept us, Lord. And so we just thank you for that. We give honor and glory to you in these things. We just pray, God, you just keep working, keep moving, keep ministering your word to us and speaking to our hearts and making it such, Lord, that when that time comes, Lord, our belief, our adherence to your word, we'll say we don't care what this world says, but we'll stay with you, Lord. That's the position we want to be in. Knowing, God, that you have promised and you will never fail. We commit ourselves and our walk into your hands, and each one, Lord, maybe the young people, maybe they don't understand these things that have been spoken. Lord, you're the great one who can impart a spiritual understanding and revelation to their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help them in that way. Each one of us, Lord, meet us where we need it.
Breathe.